When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
Look at your little sad face today.
Ugh, I know. Which brings me to, actually, funny you say that, because that brings me to the subject that I want to talk about today.
You're not yourself.
No, dude. Something bad happened, and that's life, right?
Well, yes. It's life on life's terms.
Right. Like, and it's pretty bad. It's... Other than my family being sick, it's pretty bad. Like, it's up there with, like, one of the worst things I think that could possibly happen. And I can't even talk about it, unfortunately. But nevertheless, like, the specifics of it. But I realized, like, and I've been watching just kind of the world and for a while, and I was reading this book, and it was talking about a positive attitude. You know how silly that is, right?
Well,
no, it is.
It's easy to say.
But not only that, it's almost like a fool's game. It's like denial. It's like putting your head in the sand. Because bad things happen all the time to True. Good people.
True.
And I find that positive attitude is foolish because it's not... I'm not asking you to be negative. I'm not asking you to be a nihilist. I'm not asking you to, like, always be Debbie Downer. I think a realistic attitude towards life is much more beneficial in the long run. Or you end up thinking, like, I was positive and I got let down. Or I feel like a positive attitude on some level makes you think that that's the way the world works if you just think so. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, oh, don't, like... God, I tried to give you an example, but like with the tour that we did, right? Mm-hmm. Well, of course, as we all know, you know, there were certain powers that be that really messed that whole thing up and charged way too much for the tickets we had no control over, put us in, you know, 14,000 seat arenas, things of that nature. And it's like, you can think positive. Oh, I think positive. Like, all right. But the reality is, the situation was messed up and you're going to experience the effects of that. Now, we're reapproaching and we're going to do the tour again and we're taking complete control of it and we're changing all those things that we learned. And therefore, the positive outcome is that I learned, you know, what not to do and I'll reapproach the next time and get it right. But I find that, like, I had this contestant. Oh, my little assistant. Hello, Peanut. Sorry, my assistant has just come in and say hi to the people. There we go. okay, so right, so my back to the show. So I've got this little contestant and he gets on the scale. And of course, there's something about me where I always choose the underdogs, right?
Yep.
And he's got to weigh in, and to make a very long story short, it's like all this pressure is on his shoulders. He's the last to weigh in. Are we going to win? Are we going to lose? And he gets on the scale, and he starts like, I'm ready. I'm positive. I see it. I this. I that. And, of course, the number doesn't make it happen. We lose. And it's not like you can say we're winning. I see it. I this. I that. But then there's reality. Then there's life. Then it's like, let's look at what happened. Let's look at what we could do. But, like, I feel that a positive attitude, you know, just think money or think fame or think happiness or think love is silly. And that you need to be real about the fact that life happens, life's unfair, and there are things that cannot be controlled. And the only thing you can control is how proactive and productive you'll be with the lesson. But do you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I mean, it's hard to see. You can't. You're talking more about acceptance of something.
I find that, like, my business partner, and I love him to death. He's human. And I've decided this is a defense mechanism. And one of his defense mechanisms is that everything's always going to be okay. Right? It's always like, it'll be okay, and it's going to work out, and it's going to go like this, and it's going to go like that, and it never does. And finally, we were having a conversation about something, and he's like, we need to expect that the world's going to end, and this is going to be a train wreck, and this or that or the other. And I was like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Prepare for the worst. And that to me is like, I feel if you're positive, you're not emotionally prepared for the disappointments and the setbacks that life has in store for you. I feel that you're... And when my little contestant, you know, lost that weigh-in, it was like it hit him far more intensely than if he's like, we could lose. This is a reality. Instead of, I'm ready. I'm going to do it. I see it. Because everyone always tells you to talk like that.
Yeah.
But that's dumb. It is dumb. It's far more intelligent to be like, I don't know. Everybody worked hard. I worked hard too. I don't know. You know what? That's life. Oh, we lost. All right, now what are we going to learn from this and reapproach? So I find that, like, positivity is silly. Productivity and proactivity is key.
Yep. No, I... So what will be.
Not necessarily. I'd like for you to try to take control over what's going to be. I'd like for you to, like, when bad things happen, instead of being like, I'm a victim, oh my God, of something bad happened. But, like... Also, not necessarily it's going to be okay, because you know what? Sometimes it's not okay. People get cancer and die. Horrible things happen, and sometimes it's not okay. And my mom used to say, this too shall pass, and it will pass, but you'll have a scar. Do you know
yes.
what I mean?
Yep.
And then it's like how you choose to learn from that lesson is what's going to make you better or worse. But I find that the positivity is almost this weird act of denial. Think positive. But that's not real. You're not in reality. Positive. You can think positive all you want, but that's not dealing with the facts. And there are things about life that cannot be controlled. So, like, this thing that has happened in my world, none of this was my fault. None of it. None of it. None of it. And when I look back, I'm like, God, what could I have done? Well, I guarantee you, like, I will double check and triple check everybody that I ever come across, but there are certain things I'm not. I'm not an accountant. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, there are certain things you hire people to do. I couldn't read through a contract and understand it. It'd be like reading Greek. Mm-hmm. I couldn't. That's why I have a lawyer. I don't understand taxes. That's why I pay an accountant. So when I look back at it, it's like there are things, you know, you hire a contractor to build your home. I don't know how to build a home. How am I supposed to look at this situation and be like, did you put the screws in the right? Like, what?
However, you can't believe in blind trust of somebody either. Where you go,
right.
Like, you know,
absolutely. Like, you're right.
Like, okay, I hired you as my lawyer, so I'm not going to worry about it because you know what you're doing. So we never question the lawyer or the contractor or the dentist. Or
you
the,
must. You're right. You've got to be proactive with the doctor. And Van Hurley's always said this to us. You got to be proactive in your own health care. You got to ask the right questions. You got to look into things. And you do. And that's something, you know, maybe it's like, maybe it is that I have a great lawyer. I trusted my lawyer and he made a mistake that is beyond my comprehension, beyond my comprehension. And, but like, I've seen people make these kinds of mistakes and the reality is like, and you know what else? Bad people get away with things.
True.
They do. Like, I was reading Time magazine, and you know I'm a little unstable, as we've all talked about.
No.
Like, when bad things...
No,
not me. But, yeah. Like, I can't read. I always say, like, I can't... We don't have Jake with us. Jake's dad, Bruce Paul,
Bruce
is, of course,
Paul's
with us today.
Here.
Bruce Paul's here. And, like, you know, I say, like, I can't watch the news. I can't read magazines because I can't handle... So, I was reading Time magazine, and there was a story of a young 15-year-old girl who got drunk at a party, which 15-year-old girls can do, and of course had got raped, like horrible things had happened to her, and people took pictures, because that's what happens in our day and age, and put it all over the internet. And of course she was, you know, humiliated at school, and like, you know, getting texts from other boys, hey, can we do this later? Just horrible things. And she hung in there, right? She hung in there long enough to like press charges and stuff. Well, they decided that there wasn't enough to press charges against these boys. And you know what this kid did? She killed herself. And the thing is, like, there isn't always... That's the thing. There's not always justice in the world. Like, and she felt like she could have hung on had they gone to jail, had they suffered the... You know what I mean? Like, and she killed herself because that was more than she could bear. And the reality is, well, now then, of course, there was a huge petition. This was in Canada, by the way, Janice. There was a huge petition... And they reopened the investigation after she killed herself, and about 500,000 people signed this petition. But my point is that life's not fair. Bad things happen. There isn't always justice in the world. Things you cannot control. But for you to be like, I just feel like to be positive and it's all going to work out and I'm going to get the job or I'm going to get this or it's going to be okay is not preparing you for the reality of the world that we live in. And you need to know bad things are going to happen. It isn't always going to be okay. It isn't always going to work out. But in knowing that, if you can find the meaning in the bad things that happen and the lesson and how you're going to take that lesson into being better yourself, into making the world a better place, that's what you can control. Instead of being blindsided, I think a positive attitude blindsides you.
Yes, I understand.
You can
what you're
disagree.
Saying.
I would like, I mean,
no,
disagree with me right now.
No,
I would like for someone to disagree with me right now because it's, but I just, this is the conclusion I've come to.
No, it's not that I want to disagree. It's just, I think people have to have hope too. And we've talked
right.
about hope that. You know what? There's two different subjects. I'm going in a whole different direction.
Though, hope is that you will. Will you be okay? Yes, you will, Paul. You will be okay if you are proactive and productive with the lesson. That is in your control. Will it be okay? No. So if you lose a loved one to cancer, that's not okay. Can you come through it? Can you survive the loss? Yes.
Right.
Right? But to sit there and be like, she's not going to die, I'm positive, that's stupid to me. Sitting there and going... this is an aggressive cancer. These are the odds. These are the chances. This is the reality of this disease. Let me prepare. Is far more intelligent than visualizing success, visualizing that they'll be fine. That's a fantasy. Do you see what I mean?
Yep.
And then when you lose that person, then it's like, I feel like if you're positive and it happens, you're going, why me? What went wrong? What happened? That positivity is almost a delusion. And then if you're like, this is the reality of this, this person could die. I'm not sitting there wanting you to go, they're going to die. No. Or, but also, like, they won't die. That's silly. I think you need to be like, these are the chances, and this is the reality. And I'm going to enjoy every minute I have with this person because this could happen. And when it does, I'm going to give a meaning to that loss, something of that nature. I don't want to tell people to visualize fairy tales and fantasies and butterflies and rainbows and silly things. Life is hard. Bad things happen. Bad people get away with it. There isn't always justice in the world. And if you can deal with the world realistically, then you can manage the situation so the outcome could be positive in the long run. The outcome isn't you're better, you're wiser, you're smarter, you're stronger, and you can put that much more empathy and wisdom and compassion into the world and into your life. But that's...
Jesus.
But yeah, stop with the... You know, stop with the fantasies. Forget the fantasy.
I have to.
Yeah, I think so. No, you can dream. Dream big. But, like, don't be... Do you know what I mean?
Don't be a doughhead.
Don't be a doughhead.
That's the lesson.
And I find that a lot of self-help books say silly things like,
yes,
be positive, positive thinking. And like, that doesn't do anything. I feel like, yes.
Past it.
Yes. I feel like it sets people up to fail because they're unprepared and then they're flattened when the reality of life sets in. There you go.
Wow. You're flattened, and then the reality of what you just said was fantastic.
Thank you. All right.
Well, let's move it along.
Fine.
Little pony.
You just call me a horse.
I just called you a little pony. You're my little pony today. I'm going to take care of you today.
All right.
Because you're a little fragile, and I'm gonna watch out for you.
Dude.
Yeah, I'm going to take care of you.
All right. Guess where I was recently?
Yeah, you were on a little holiday. You went on a couple of days.
I did.
What'd you do?
I went to Lake Powell.
Is that picture? Is that where you were?
I was. Do you know where that is? It's like Arizona and Utah. Have you ever been there? Isn't it amazing how like some of the most amazing things in our backyard we don't go visit? Like, I've met people that have lived in London their entire life, but have never gone over to Paris. I'm like, how is that possible?
It's so true.
It's right next door to you. How is that possible? Like, people live in California, and like, but they've never been to the Grand Canyon. Like, what in the... How is that possible? So, if you think about this little area of our country, right, Utah and Arizona, I mean, they've got everything from the Grand Canyon, Sedona, Monument Valley, Lake Powell, Zion Park, all the slot canyons, and people come from Europe to here, but we're like, oh, Utah, you know, and like people will go and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on the Mediterranean in yachts. But, like, you can get a houseboat on Lake Powell. It is different, but it's absolutely gorgeous. It is gorgeous.
Is it salt water?
No, it's a lake. They dammed the Colorado River. So, basically, what they do is they dammed the Lake Mead is also same thing. So, they dam the Colorado River. It's, like, 180 miles. It's got, like, 1,900 miles of shoreline because of all the different canyons. And it's basically just flowed into these, what they call the slide canyons, and it is stunning. Absolutely stunning. We had the best time. And we went wake surfing. Have you ever heard of this?
I've heard of wakeboard. Is that the same thing? Wakeboarding?
No. Wakeboarding is like snowboarding, where you strap your feet onto this board.
Oh, yeah, my nephew does it. Yeah.
And then you're dragged behind a boat. Wake surfing, you're not strapped in at all, which I much preferred. You basically put your feet on the board and just stand on it.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. I have to tell you, wow. First of all, what a brutal workout. I'm still sore from it. And
yeah,
it was
just, body.
But it was also so much fun. And it got me thinking, like, of just, we should do a little segment on water sports, even though I think we've all agreed that I should probably avoid these things after my paddleboarding excursion from hell and the river rafting trip down the Zambezi.
The paddleboarding, that was the classic.
Oh, jeez, man. But let's, you know, if you're responsible, unlike myself, you can engage in a lot of fun sports. So I thought, you know, first of all, obviously stand-up paddleboarding.
Hugh, it's getting so popular.
And you can do it anywhere, by the way. Like, yeah. Everybody was doing it in Lake Powell. They had excursions paddleboarding through the canyons. And
oh,
they're
really?
Like, it's just awesome.
Oh, that would be beautiful.
Yeah. But, that okay, here's sort of the rookie mistake is that a lot of times people think wind is better, right? Because it's going to help you and push you along. But a strong gust of wind will drag your ass out to sea. So you want to go on a day where it is not windy.
Even without a sail on it? It took you out?
No, it will take you. It will take you.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to be really careful. And okay. If it does, you get down on your knees. Sit on your feet. Get down on your knees.
And
so
pray.
You lessen. Because like...
And just do a very long prayer.
No. Your body acts like a sail. That's why you see like bikers less wind resistance. So you get down, start paddling back to shore.
Oh,
and
wow.
A lot of people think that it's an arm exercise, but it's not. It's actually a core exercise. So you got to make sure before you do it that you learn how to stand, how to center yourself, because you stay square on the board. And you switch hand positions. So one hand's on top, then you switch other side, other hand goes on top, and the arms remain straight the entire time. It's all core exercise.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I know. The next one, surf kayaking or kayaking. This one's fun. The only thing is the size of the board is going to have a really big impact on of the kayak is going to have a big impact on performance and comfort. So you really want to focus on the fit if you're just getting started. And an international class kayak is what's always recommended for beginners.
Right, because there's ocean kayaks and lake kayaks. I mean,
know.
There's, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so know what
rivers.
You're...
Don't get in that river, man, unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm sorry. I have a whole new respect for rivers after the Zambezi.
Was like Kevin Bacon like waiting around the corner?
Didn't I tell you? You don't know the story?
No.
Oh, geez, dude. Okay.
Where's the Zambini?
Zambezi. It's between Zambia and Zimbabwe. And it's underneath Angel Falls. Like it runs through, then it drops down from Victoria Falls. And then it keeps going. And we had to make a very long story short, we had a travel agent sign us up for a ride on the Zambezi. And I thought it was going to be like the Jungle Book cruise at Disneyland.
It's a small boat.
Like, I thought I was going to be on some sort of, like, Jungle Boat cruise with a margarita. And, right? I didn't have any idea. So we show up. And to make a long story short, it's one of the 10 most dangerous vacation activities you can do in the world. And it's like level 4, 5, and 6 rapids, which is like double black diamonds.
Wait, were you wearing a floppy hat when you went?
Girl, you don't know. Like, I can't believe you don't know this story.
No, I'm just visualizing you thinking that you're going on. Margarita cruise.
Yeah, and we show up, and they show, like, this video and the whole thing, and, you know, and to make a long story short, like, we're hiking down this gorge, but you have to go barefoot because you'll lose your shoes. And I was like, and, you know, in America, everybody's so litigious, so in the beginning, I was like, I'm liberated. This is so liberating because no one sues here, and look what we can all do. And then people are jumping into the river under the falls and climbing into the boat, and I was like, we're truly free. Right? And I'm saying this tidy. And I was like, we're not under the oppression of a litigious regime. All I can say, all I can really do is people. without fear. I mean, about 30 minutes in, people are bleeding. People are screaming. The refs had flipped. Heidi is crying. There are crocodiles on the side of the goddamn riverbank. I mean, people were getting airlifted out of the... I'm not kidding. It was... And at one point, they dragged Heidi back out of the boat. There's this, I mean, the raft flips over, and you've got to flip the raft back over before you go into the next rapid. And they've got kayakers fishing bodies out of the water. And this kid is on top of the raft because she's so scared. And I'm, they've got to flip the raft back over because we're going into another. We're all floating in this river, dying. I'm okay, like, we're dying here.
Wait a minute. What kind of boat were you? Like a,
it's a
like
raft!
Like an inflatable raft?
It's an inflatable raft!
No, but did you have life jackets on?
You think that matters in the Zambezi? Are you out of your mind? I mean, then I got home and it's like people die. They get sucked into those. Dude, it is like you're in Africa. It's every man for themselves. And you want to hear something really horrible? And it's like, I'm just going to be PC and politically incorrect here. But like, we have had this guide, right? Who is like, can't remember his name now. Clyde or Clive or something. And his face is all scarred. And I'm such an idiot. Like, I remembered hearing about Seal, and I had originally heard, like, it had something to do with his belief system, which I guess is not true in the long run. So yeah, this guy has scars all over his face, right? And I was like, I wonder if this is, like, a sort of a cultural thing. To make a long story short, those scars all over his face, he ended up telling me, after all was said and done, is from getting smacked into the rocks in that river. And the rapids are called, like, the gnashing jaws of death. Gulliver Stra- Look up Zambezi River Rapid names and see what you can get from it. You'll see. Yeah, yeah. And this kid is on top of the raft. And some of them sounded innocent, like Gulliver's Travels, which was the one where oh my God. Like the next day, we never saw the blue raft again. They were gone forever. And we couldn't figure out if there was a blue raft. And I was like, I'm sure there was a blue goddamn raft. To make a long story short, the next day.
You said that. That's about the eighth time she said that to make a long story.
Well, it's because the story goes on forever. But at the airport the next day, there was a girl in a wheelchair. Yeah, a wheelchair. And my friends were like, you're not going to believe this. We were on a plane with a girl in a wheelchair. She was in the blue raft. Oh. Shattered her ankle. Okay, ready? These are the names of the rapids. Here we go.
Oh, these are good.
Okay. The first one is called the wall. The second one's called the bridge. Where's number three? Four is called Morning Glory. Stairway to Heaven. The Devil's Toilet Bowl. Gulliver's Travels. Well, that's the one where we bit it. The Midnight Diner. Commercial Suicide. That's Rapid 9. The Gnashing Jaws of Death is Rapid 10. Creamy White Bucket. That's disgusting. That's Rapid 11. The Three Ugly Sisters. The Mother. The Washing Machine, The Terminator, Double Trouble, Oblivion, The Morning Shave, The Morning Shower. Those are the names.
Now, did you have a discussion at the end of this with that travel agent?
Oh, you think I didn't? You think I didn't? I was like, you crazy bitch. The best part is when they fished poor little Heidi out of the water. And she had come up under the raft and couldn't breathe. And the helmet had smacked her in the face. Her nose is bleeding. And they fish her little limp, raggedy-ass body onto the raft, right? She's on all fours.
Oh, poor
and
girl.
She just looks at me. And I'm like, I'm laughing hysterically because I think we're going to die. So, I mean, I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to die. And where's the blue raft? Which is what I just kept saying. And she looks at me on all fours and she goes, this is so awful. And she didn't speak. She did not speak for 24 hours after that.
Oh, my God. Water is to be respected. You're
I'll
absolutely right.
So don't do that. Next. Oh,
fine
my
to
God.
See you and Heidi showing up.
Poor
in
mouse.
Your little floppy hat.
Poor little mouse.
And your flip flops.
Poor little creature. Oh my God.
And your habaneras.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's good. Well, very good. Now we know.
And last but not least, if you're going kiteboarding or windsurfing, do not do this without taking lessons, because you can get pulled out to sea. And if you get scared, you need to let go. Because people get afraid
and they hang on.
Let go. And the thing will just come down to the ground.
Isn't that a good
metaphor
for life, Jillian?
The more you hang on, the more the wind's going to pull you.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, if you let go, it kind of comes down harmlessly. And make sure that your instructor is certified by the International Kiteboarding Organization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure his name's not Clyde Boyd. Clyde Boyd.
And Nashin Ajaz Odez. Okay. Stairway to Heaven.
All right, we'll be right back. Inez would like to have a word with you, madame.
Hey!
Actually, not with you.
Oh.
With the love.
Oh!
The love.
Hold on. Oh. Just a second. I need to get in my position. I like to sit a certain way for this and get in character. Just a minute.
Oh, my God.
Hold on.
Oh, Inez, look what I have to deal with.
I pulled my headphones. Just a minute.
Yeah, it serves you right. For trying to get too doctor-like. All right, there's...
Wait, I'm not ready now.
It's the doctor. Oh, my God. The doctor takes so long. Okay, basically, she knows what she did. After all that, she's now sitting cross-legged. Sweet mother of the Lord. Oh, my...
I'll wait as long as I need to wait for the love
doctor. It makes me feel a little more astute.
Yeah, most love doctors sit cross-legged.
Yeah.
All right, well...
Okay, hold on. Inez, how can I help?
Oh. Yeah. Hi, Jillian. How are you? Thank you for taking my call today.
How are you?
I've been better. This is why I need to speak with the love doctor.
Oh, buddy.
I am separated for 2 months, married for 4 years, dating the same man for about 12. I've known him since college. I'm 30 years old.
Okay.
Went into this relationship knowing he had emotional issues. I think he has depressional issues with dysthymia, I think is how you pronounce it.
Oh, yeah. Low-grade depression. He's dysthymic.
Yes.
My mom, I know this from my mom. Dysthymic is a constant low-grade depression.
Yeah.
There's a genetic
constant
low-grade depression. Some believe that there's a genetic predisposition to it. Some think that it's like a biochemical thing because it doesn't come with like a tragedy in life and then, you know, like which is normal to go into. It's constant. It's a constant low-grade depression, dysthymic.
Yeah, he won't recognize that. And I do think, like you said, it's kind of a thing from his childhood. And I've kind of been the one to support him for the past 12 years and kind of babied him, which was wrong. And I finally stood up for myself and was like, you know, we're not communicating. I'm not very happy, but I want to work on this. And it just kept going downhill, so we separated.
Okay.
We met last night, and after 2 months, you know, he wanted to give it till December, and I said to, like, see where we're going to go. And I met him last night, and I said, you know, after 2 months of living apart, I love you. I still realize I love you, and I want to work this out. And he was just like, no, I want to give it 6 more months and continue dating other people. Pretty hurtful stuff, and basically not taking any accountability from what you said in a previous podcast just a couple times ago to a gentleman with a husband
Rob,
who was having kind of the similar issues.
I remember that call.
Sweetie, I took notes on that podcast.
Oh, okay, but here's the thing, because I already have a pretty good idea of what's going on, but why don't you tell me, why do you want to salvage it?
I see the good person underneath.
Okay.
And, you know, we do have good times together.
Okay.
And I do know that I am a fixer.
There you go. There you go. There you go. There you go.
This is. You know, I think after talking to him, I and kind of grieving yesterday and today, I do still kind of want to fix it, but I know I probably shouldn't need to move on. I just don't know how to do that.
I got
how
it. All right. Fine. So let's start with this. Okay. So here you are. You've got a guy that's consistently unhappy, and you know, for the last 12 years, I'm presuming you've tried to make him happy.
Yes.
Okay. And, but to no avail.
No, none.
Right. Of course. Sure. Because you're not responsible for his happiness. The only one that can work through these issues is him. We can't change other people. They have to make choices to change themselves. And you are obviously in a pattern, right? My guess is that it would be something called a repetition compulsion, which means we are compelled to repeat patterns that are unresolved from our past. And we feel like if we can get a different outcome this time, those primal pains and sadnesses and losses and disappointments from our younger lives will be healed, which of course is not true. But why don't we look at this pattern of yours? So you're a fixer. So you're trying to please or be good enough for this fundamentally unhappy individual. Mm-hmm. So go back in your life and tell me other areas where you've engaged in this dynamic.
I guess trying to fix the relationship with my parents and maybe my sister.
Okay, a little more detail.
She was the baby. She was always babied. She became very nasty at one point, like in her teenage years, beyond just being a teenager.
Okay.
And I tried to fix things there, or even just between my parents when they have issues. I feel like I'm always the one my mom or my dad leans on. I'm the capable one. I'm the one who can handle anything.
Okay. But was there like a trying to be good enough to hold them up, or any sort of like saving them, or was anybody just like devastated, or like sounds like the like whenever anybody was unhappy, you were always the one that would try to go in and make it better?
Yeah, I would say more like that. That I was just always the one to go in and try to make it better, and you know, be there and be the strong one.
Sure. Okay. That is where you had value in the family dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that was the role you played. And that's your value, is that this is what you do in the family, so that's where you hold value. And if you're not doing that, you have no value.
Sure.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, it's not an easy thing to hear, but it's just, okay.
No, so, I want the truth.
I mean, it's not necessarily the truth, by the way. I'm throwing things out to see how you respond to them. So, okay. By the way, were you ever successful?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I was. I mean, you know, my parents still have a great relationship, but I know that they still do. Like, they'll call and rely on me for things, and, you know, I know.
But you weren't successful in fixing them. You just abandoned. You're just,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So you've been, like, connective tissue, but they're not better.
Yeah. No, you're right. No, because they're still calling me.
Right. So what you're doing in this relationship with this man is trying to win something that has been unwinnable your entire life. They're still calling you. They're not better. They're not stronger. They're not happier. They're not turned around.
Is that true? No, it is, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm still trying to fix the dynamic between them. My dad will call and complain,
right, but
you know,
sweetie,
about certain things.
Exactly. Okay, so now here you are in this relationship, and you're like, this is what I do, this is where I have value, and this time I'm going to get it right because I haven't gotten it right. So you are compelled by this old dynamic for a host of reasons, beyond even the ones that we've just talked about, which are pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, in these kind of repetition compulsions, is that we think that at some point we're going to master this scenario. When we're smart enough or mature enough or wise enough or strong enough, pretty enough or whatever, and then it will be all better. Instead of just grieving and being devastated and being angry and being disappointed, about the way things were, about the fact that your parents weren't able to be strong on their own or happy on their own or independent on their own or love you for being you or love you without having to give you all of this baggage and all of this responsibility. And so, of course, for you, it's like, if I fix it, I will be successful over this dynamic. And, of course, you know, that is my job. And the thing with this man is he's not going to change. And in 12 years, he hasn't changed.
No, he hasn't.
What changes in a repetition compulsion is the person repeating the pattern. So you would identify the pattern and go, oh my God, here I am doing this again. Here's why I'm doing it. Here's how it plays out. The results are inevitable. And the only thing that changes here is me. And then you need to give yourself what you're seeking from those other individuals. So why don't we stop and think about, here we are. This man comes back into your life. And you win this fight after 12 years, and the outcome looks like what?
That, you know, that he finally just loves me as much as I love him, that we're happy, that, you know, he appreciates me, and, you know, we're finally just happy and enjoying each other. And
he appreciates you. Okay. Approval.
Loves me.
Love. Okay, stop. So whenever people engage in a repetition compulsion, in my experience, again, I'm not a therapist, in my experience when I see it, they play out patterns seeking to gain the approval or the love that they were never given. So, here we go. All right. My dad was a drug addict. Back in the day, don't know what the hell he's up to these days, but back in the day, you name it, pharmaceutical drugs, cocaine, marijuana. He was unhappy, and I was always spoiled, and I was always unappreciative, and I was a brat and all these things. And I got older and, of course, dated somebody who reminded me of my dad and would never invite me out and would always, you know, would cheat on me. And I always thought, like, when I make enough money or when I am, you know, when I get thinner or when I'm prettier or when I'm this, like, I'm going to win this over. And it's whenever we engage in this, is we're always trying to get that appreciation or that love that we never got. So even if you're with a boss that's never happy or a partner that's never happy, or it's triggering this pattern. So here's the deal. You think when you master this, he'll love you the way you want to be loved. He'll appreciate you the way you want to be appreciated. Do you appreciate yourself?
I don't think I have for a while. I think that, unfortunately, I relied all on his thoughts with me for a very long time.
Right.
And I'm only starting to appreciate myself now that I'm out of there.
Right. But if you don't appreciate yourself, no one's going to. It's always going to start with you. If you don't respect yourself, no one's going to. And even if you do meet a man who's like, you're amazing, you're amazing, you're great, you're amazing, because you could go, people do go into those opposite dynamics. I left that abusive relationship and got into the opposite relationship. And it wasn't great either for a host of reasons. But even still, even if you're with a fan and they're like, you're amazing, you're great, you're amazing, if you don't believe it, it's still never going to be enough and it's never going to matter. So a lot of times when we break these patterns, identify them and what they're really about, okay, then so it's like, oh my God, I'm doing the fixing thing again, and I've been doing it since I was a child, and it's, you know, it's me trying to be appreciated for me, trying to be loved for me, not just as my identity is the fixer, trying to heal these people, so they can stand on their own two feet and they can be there for me. And, you know, so here we are, this is why I'm doing it, this is how it ends up every time, and what do I need to do to move in an opposite direction? So what you need to be right now for yourself is what you seek from others. So in the moment, you need to show yourself appreciation, love, respect. And this sounds silly, but it's as simple as, instead of taking somebody to the airport on Sunday, go to the yoga class that you want to take. It's instead of buying somebody else flowers, you buy them for yourself and you put them on the bedside table. It's, you know, it's about taking all of that energy that you've put into him and putting it into you. And it's like treating yourself, nurturing yourself, loving yourself, like spoiling yourself. All the loving things, you know, that you would do for another person. Like, I just think, you know, in my relationship now, I go so out of my way to try to make Heidi happy and to try to spoil her. But it's mutual. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
no, I do.
But if we broke up and she didn't appreciate me, I mean, like, I'm just trying to think about her birthday. We had, like, three birthdays. Like, her parents came out, and we had, like, this family dinner, and then we went to Cabo together, and then I got her all these, like, little gifts that I, like, put a ton of thought into. And then we came home, and I planned a whole party with her friends, and it was, like, at this dinner at this place downtown. Like, I put so much energy into getting her things she loved and making it special for her and making it fun for her. But it's mutual. She yeah. gives that back to me in this relationship. So I want you to look at all the ways you tried to help him and make him happy and please him, and instead turn it around and be that person to yourself right now.
Okay.
And if you can start doing that, over time, you're going to gradually learn how to appreciate yourself more, how to literally love yourself more, as opposed to just, I love myself, I'm great. It's not about words. It is about taking action and then how it will manifest over time into your attitude, while simultaneously looking at why you've engaged in a pattern of feeling less than. And honey, it's also about feeling the disappointment about the way you grew up and maybe setting boundaries with your parents. I don't want to hear it. I'm sorry. Feeling, and like, then you're going to go, oh my God, I don't have value anymore if I'm not their doormat, if I'm not their, you know, shoulder to cry on. And you're going to have to learn by setting boundaries that they will still love you. They might be mad at you. They might be disappointed in you, but they will come around and still love you. So now you need to start setting boundaries with them. So you can see that even when you're not that role, you'll still have value.
I think that's definitely a great idea.
And I got to tell you, he needs to go.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I know it's like, it sounds crazy, 12 years of your life, but thank God you're 30. Your life is just beginning. 30 was like the beginning of my entire life. And like, good, great. Get on this now. You know, work through these issues now. Because it's like, you're going to have, this is like your prime right now. 30 to 50. I mean, this is like when you're coming into your own as a woman, as a professional, as a human being. Like, you become aware of these issues and you start working through them now. And leave. Run as fast as you can in the other direction. Run as fast as you can.
I definitely agree, and I'm definitely going to do that. And I appreciate all the advice today, and I'm going to take all of it to heart, and I'm going to start appreciating myself.
And one last thing I want you to do, so you're going to have three marching orders. One is to start setting the boundaries with your parents. As hard as that is, do it incrementally in small ways so that okay. you can, over time, stretch your emotional fabric with this so it's not so terrifying for you. It's like a crawl, walk, run kind of scenario with boundaries.
Okay.
Number two. All the energy and effort and kind, sweet thoughts, etc., that you put into his happiness, you put into yours. And number three, write a letter to him and just
okay.
pour it all out on paper. And when you're done, after you've written this letter to him, read it and imagine that you were addressing your mother or your father.
Mm. Okay.
And see what comes
up. I can definitely do that.
I did that with a friend who was going through a breakup. And it was like, you know, you've never this and you've never that and you didn't this and you didn't that and I can't believe it and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, great. Now, read that letter to me like you addressed it to your dad. And she immediately became hysterical. And it will help you see what this is really about, if that makes any sense.
No, it absolutely does. You know, I definitely believe something obviously bigger is here, and the reason I
historical.
Started in this pattern, yeah.
Yep, it's historical, sweetie. So. Yeah.
I want to learn about myself, and that's definitely what I'm trying to do. And I appreciate, again, all the advice and you taking my call today. And I'm going to follow all three marching orders and,
good girl.
And move forward and run as fast as I can away.
Run your ass off. Run your ass off. Leave a trail of smoke behind you. Okay?
I could do that.
All right, sweetheart. Have a great day.
Thank you, and thank you again so much, and thank you, Janice, and I really appreciate all you both do, and I love your podcast, so thank you again.
Pleasure, Inez. Pleasure.
Have a great day.
Bye.
Wow.
She's going to be fine, though.
Mm-hmm.
She's 30. She's not, like, resistant to the truth.
No,
I can always see
all.
Where people are at, like, based on how well defended they are, how in denial they are, how resistant to a dialogue or a thought process or a conversation they are. She knows.
I'm still thinking about, all them presents you bought Heidi.
I know.
Wow, that's impressive.
I put a lot of effort into the, I know.
That's impressive.
I know.
That's a lot of holidays and stuff.
I know. I do. I spoil the hell out of her. But I think it's because there are other areas where I'm not great. You know? Like, I'm impatient. I'm impossible. I'm hard to live with. You know, like, oh, we're going on the road for 8 weeks. Here we go. Do you know what I mean? I mean, and she's just sort of like, there's a lot of concessions that she makes, and, you know, so it's like, I try.
No, she's really lovely. It's lovely.
Like, compensate, in the ways that I can.
Then I think maybe you should compensate. For all the mean things you've said about my outfits in the last 2 years.
No, they're not mean. They're realistic observations.
No, but 2 years you've made comments on my outfits.
Should we talk about what you're wearing today?
My pretty outfits.
Today, Janice has on a beige and red Kansas City baseball hat with a tangerine shirt.
Tangerine's pretty. That's pretty.
With a pair of chartreuse.
Chartreuse. They're green.
They're chartreuse green.
Oh.
Sweat shorts.
Yeah.
And then brown hiking boots.
No, they're kind of fashion boots. Excuse me, Bruce Paul. These are fashion boots. They're not hiking boots.
Are those on the runway of Paris? Yeah. You're Daniel friggin' Boone.
All I need is a beaver hat. Didn't Daniel Boone have a beaver on his head? The beaver. Oh, it's a raccoon. I thought I was thinking of the little tail hung down. If it was a beaver, it would be a big, like a big paddle. Did you remember? I was thinking it was a beaver hat, but think about a beaver tail. It slaps. His hung down. It was a raccoon. Bruce Paul started when he said that Daniel Boone boots. These are what.
No,
you
started it when you were born.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.